Hey, Hill City, welcome. I am so glad to be with you guys today and be wrapping up our series called Don't Bury the Lead. I know, like, someday we will be together again, someday, and I think that day is coming soon. So until that time, I hope that you are still enjoying connection, that you're reaching out, that you're sending those messages, hopefully being in a watch party somewhere today as we wrap up this series. We have been doing this series in Colossians, and as I've been reviewing Colossians, I read through the whole thing this week, and I thought to myself, man, is there ever been a time where the church is more connected to these early letters than ever before? As we're scattered, as life is changing and there's tons of uncertainty around us, it feels more and more like God's word is so relevant to our lives. And as we wrap up today, we're going to talk about the results of all the things that we've learned over the past weeks as Paul wraps up this letter in Colossians 4. So maybe like you, I've been exploring the outdoors more than ever before. And last week I was on a camping trip with my seventh grader. Yes, seventh grader, like 15 seventh grade boys. And I was leading with some other leaders and we were hiking, we were talking about camping and being outdoors. And as I was getting to know another leader, I started to tell him a story about my older son that I had taken camping because of this kind of like freak experience where one day I was watching a Bear Grylls TV show, Man vs. Wild, and like this survivalist option like came up on the screen. And so, you know, it was late at night. So I was like, brrr. The next thing I know, I had applied for my son and I to go on a camping trip. And I'm telling this story to this guy and I'm noticing that he's like listening really intently, like more intently than my other stories. And all of a sudden I realized, I was like, oh, hey, FYI, as it turns out, Bear Grylls was not on the trip. We did go on the trip. We did go to England. We did do this like survival challenge with my older son, who's now 17 now. But Bear Grylls was not, in fact, on the trip. And I could just see like my friend as I was telling the story like deflate. Like I was like, I did not want to bury the lead. Like that's what we've been talking about in this series, is not burying the lead. And in this book, in this letter to the Colossians, Paul does not bury the lead. He starts off strong and accurate about what this mystery of Christ is. But today we're actually talking about, because of all of that, this like cosmic reality, this big story that we get to be a part of, because Paul did not bury the lead about the truth and the reality of who Jesus Christ is, the supremacy of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ, we also then can respond to that. And that's really when we get into these instructions at the end of the letter, they are all hinging on what we've learned up into this point. So I want to lay out for you guys, because human nature, that we can then overlay over this passage to understand it. So it's going to look like this. Beliefs, I'm going to put beliefs down here on the bottom. First, I'm going to turn my pen on. There we go. Ready? Okay. I'm going to put beliefs down here on the bottom. So this is sort of the fundamental. This is what's operating under the surface, is what we believe. A lot of times we don't even know, like consciously, that this is what's operating under us. And I'm not just talking about spiritual beliefs. I'm talking about what we believe about humanity, what we believe about the world, what we believe about, insert any category here. And on top of those beliefs, then the beliefs are going to create habits. Habits are sort of our subconscious like actions that we're taking that we don't even know that we're doing them. They're sort of just something that comes along that sort of pops up outside of those beliefs. And those habits are what shape our lives. It's sort of the in and out of our daily living. And then on top of those habits, habits create decisions. Out of those habits, we make decisions about the way that we live, about who we are becoming, about the way that we interact with the world. And decisions are what create action. And what we're going to see in our passage today, there we go. So beliefs go to habits, habits go to decisions, decisions go to actions. What we're going to see in our passage today is what that looks like for Paul coming out of these last three chapters that we have just studied together. So our passage for today is from Colossians 4, and I'm just going to read it for us. This is sort of, I just want you to imagine that you're receiving a letter from someone that you admire and that you respect and that you miss. And in the way that we aren't together right now, in a lot of that same way, Paul was not together with these guys, and he wants to give them these sort of like last words in light of all that he shared so far. And he says this: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So when I look at a passage like this, I kind of start just sort of breaking down some little pieces, because the very first thing that we want to do when we're looking at the Bible together is really understand, like, what is this saying? Let me make sure that I'm absorbing what it's saying before I go to what it means. And so we're going to do that by looking at a couple of things right now. First of all, let's just look at who's being addressed in this passage. So we have you. We also have us, right? This is Paul and his disciples and the people that are with him. He talks about himself right here, I. He says, proclaim that I can proclaim it clearly, and I. And then we have outsiders, and we have everyone. Okay, so the subjects of this passage are you, and the passage talks about Paul and his people, and then outsiders. Who are those outsiders? And then everyone in this passage. And then I look for action. Like, I look for, what is this passage telling us? And so we've got some action words here too, and I'm going to highlight those for you. Devote. Devote yourself to prayer. Pray. Pray. Be wise. And let your conversation. Okay, so we're going to look at those actions. But as I looked at this passage again and again, and I looked for places where I thought, how could I rephrase this? Would I be able to say what exactly Paul means here? And there was one phrase that kept tripping me up, which brought us here, which is right here, the mystery of Christ. And the whole letter before this point is about this. And my question for you is, if I said to you, hey, like, what's the mystery of Christ? Would you have an answer? Because all the time in our faith, we are learning and relearning, and we're rehearsing and re-rehearsing the reality of what it means that we get to benefit from the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it means that we can experience the joy of our salvation. And so if this stands out to you, like, what is the mystery of Christ? I just want to review that almost as a way to culminate the series, is what is this mystery? Because remember what we saw before, beliefs create habits. So what we believe about the mystery of Christ, what we believe about cosmic reality, what we believe about the big story actually does impact how you live your life this week. I'm a huge, like, but how though kind of person. I'm like, okay, mystery of Christ, but why? Like, but how? But what does that mean for me? What does that mean for Wednesday? What does that mean for the way I interact on social media? What does that mean for my friendships? What does that mean for how I live in this season of uncertainty? How does the mystery of Christ affect me? Because beliefs are what create habits, and habits create decisions, and decisions create action. So the mystery of Christ that Paul was speaking of, that John's talked about throughout this series, is that he was fighting off issues that had crept into the church, some of which were way off. Some of those issues were, like, way outside. But some of them that I think are even more dangerous took the truth of the gospel just enough to make it seem like it was right and then twisted it at the end, took what is righteous about the gospel and made it our righteousness. So rather than making it about what is true for eternity and what is true because we've received from Christ, people in the church were taking it and twisting it and making it about the things that we did, about the rules that we follow, about these other regulations. I love that one commentator describes what was happening in the early church as, this did not deny Christ, but it dethroned him. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that before. Like, most of us probably aren't going to deny Christ. Like, if you're still showing up for online church, like, you go. Like, you're being faithful. You're showing up. You know that this is important for your life. We're not going to deny Christ in our life. But the question is, are you allowing him to be dethroned? Are you allowing the fear in life right now to dethrone him? Are you allowing your worries to dethrone him? Are you allowing the circumstances around you to dethrone him? Are you allowing your doubts to dethrone him? Because what Paul was addressing right here was this heresy. Not denying Christ, but dethroning him. Not robbing him of what he did, but taking the power of our everyday living away from us. And that's what he wanted to address. I think the greatest issue of our day is living like Christ is dethroned. Like, Christ is not in charge. Like, all the things we said about the cosmic reality of eternity and history are not true. And I think here we can believe that. But here, where we need to sink our beliefs, oftentimes we live like this isn't true. because the world is telling us that darkness is reigning, but God is telling us that Christ is still on the throne. So in the beginning, this belief that we find in this letter is about the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. That is the mystery of the gospel. Oops, I got ahead of myself. Here we go. Supremacy and sufficiency. This is what it says in Colossians 1. He, Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In everything he might have the supremacy. Paul talked about the problem that was going on in the church then, Colossians 2:19. They have lost connection with the head. The problem with the sort of the truth being twisted, the problem with the way we might live without confidence, the problem when we feel like we're living in this like fear and anxiety is that we've lost connection with the head. Colossians 2:10 says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. The truth of Christ is that he is not only supreme, but he is also sufficient. He is not only supreme over the powers of the world, but he's also sufficient for the power you need today. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said it this way. Jesus came to him. He's talking about a time in his own life where he struggled deeply, a time where he felt like he needed something removed from him. This guy, this Paul, this guy who wrote the New Testament, who struggled too, like you and me. And it says in the scripture that he was praying and he felt that Jesus came to him. And this is what Jesus said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in the weakness. That is the truth of Christ's sufficiency, is that his grace is sufficient for where we are right now. I think about this idea of like, we're swimming in this culture, right? We're swimming, and maybe sometimes you feel like you're drowning and your head is underwater and you're like, God, take it away, like take the water away. And I think what's happening in Colossians is God saying, hey, like I'm not gonna take the water away, but I am gonna teach you how to swim. Like, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm not going to drown you. Like, I'm going to teach you how to swim in this culture. I'm going to teach you how to swim through all of this stuff that's around you. I'm going to make you strong because I am sufficient. I'm going to make you strong in your weakness because I am sufficient. The truth of the gospel, the mystery of Christ, is that the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus leads to our reconciliation and our renewal. It leads to our hearts being reconciled, reconciled to God, reconciled to ourselves, reconciled to one another, that Christ promises reconciliation. The other thing that he promises to us is renewal. Colossians 3:10 says, and having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. The whole section that we're talking about when we get into instructions, that's all an outworking of what's happened because of the mystery of Christ. If you're a note taker and you want to take a note, I just want you to write supremacy and sufficiency leads to reconciliation and renewal. It's just true. Like, it's true in your heart. It's true today and it's true tomorrow. And it means that you can wake up in the morning and you can say, you know what I believe? Before I get to my habits and my decisions and my actions, you know what I believe? I believe that Christ is supreme. I believe that Christ is sufficient. I believe that he is about reconciliation, and I believe that he is about renewal, and I'm going to go live my life like that today. What we know in this letter is that having a faith, like Paul describes, is an active faith. It's not a faith where like drowning in the culture, asking God to remove the water. It's a faith where we start swimming. It's active. The words that Paul uses in this letter are active. He talks about his active faith, this idea that I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. Like Paul's like, I am content, like I am fighting for you. Like in the spiritual realms, I am fighting for you. I am praying for you. I am contending for you to know the truth. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive. Like that's a strong analogy. That's a strong word for these people and for us. He says in Colossians 3, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He goes on and says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Like this whole idea of this belief, this rock solid, steadfast belief, it doesn't lead to a passivity. It actually leads to an active faith because Christ is supreme, because he's sufficient, because he promises renewal, because he promises reconciliation, I can have an active everyday faith where I am contending for the faith. I am contending for my friends. I'm contending for my family. Like, I have leaders contending for me. You have leaders contending for you, praying for you that you might know the truth, that you might live into that. It's active. It is not passive. And sometimes I think because we believe that, like, oh, well, I don't have to work for my faith because Christ paid it all and Christ did it all. He did. Christ paid it all and Christ did it all, but you still got to swim. Like, you got to swim. And to swim in this culture means I need an active everyday faith. And so when Paul is wrapping up this letter with instructions, he's actually giving us instructions on how to actually do that. He says, because of the mystery of Christ, now we can talk about your habits. We can talk about your decisions. We can talk about your actions. So let's talk about that for a minute. Habits create decisions. And there's a habit here that stands out in this letter a couple of places. The first one is praying. Like, praying is all over this thing. And the second one is being thankful. Seven times in this letter, Paul talks about being thankful. Paul didn't really have, like, an outside reason to be thankful. He was under house arrest. The church was under persecution. He was separated from these guys that he loves. He's trying to, like, lead them from afar. Everything's sort of going wrong, yet overflowing out of Paul is, like, thankfulness all the time. Seven times, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. He talks about it in this passage. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Let's look at this. Being watchful and thankful. So being devoted in our hearts to prayer is this first habit. And look at this habit of being watchful and thankful. Watchful about what God is up to. Like, actually waking up in the morning and being like, God, give me an awareness of what you're doing around me today. What you're doing in me, what you're doing in whoever the people are that I'm around. Help me be watchful about what you're doing. And then coupled with that watchful is thankful. Help me be thankful. And we talk about gratitude all the time. We all know that there's tons of studies that talk about gratitude, like, lifts your heart, and gratitude, you know, gives you wellness and, like, mental, like, stability and all of those things. But I was thinking about this week, my own, like, really, like, painful attempts at being grateful. And I'll start to, like, write in, like, a gratitude journal or say, like, okay, I got to think of five things I want to be thankful for today. And over again, what I find is that my mind goes to being thankful for, like, blessings. Like, I'm like, thanks for my house. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you that we can still shop in a grocery store or whatever. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But the challenge that I think is in front of us, if we really apply what Paul is saying, is can you be grateful for hard things? Like, what would it be like this week to say, like, I'm devoting myself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and I'm not just going to be thankful for the things that, like, I keep on rotating around, maybe these external blessings, but I'm actually going to be thankful for hard things. Like, I'm going to be like, God, thank you that you've put me in hard conversations this week. Thank you, God, that you have people on my heart that you're asking me to contend for. Thank you, God, that you're acquainting me with my anxiety or my coping mechanisms that are outside of you, Lord. Like, what would it be like if the challenge was that you are going to contend for hard things? You're going to be grateful for hard things this week. You want to stand out in this world that is just, like, feels so often like it's just crumbling around us and we're just living in, like, bad news, bad news, bad news. Be grateful for hard things. Like, just try it. Try it and see what God does. I feel like God is just, he just wants to pour out his strength and his sufficiency and his supremacy upon us. But in order to do so, we've got to develop those habits that help us, like, live into those beliefs. And that first habit is that habit of prayer. Habits create decisions. Look what happens here in John 14. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's talking to his disciples. And there's this crazy verse in here that, like, takes a second. And that's why I put it here, because I want to look at it together with you guys. Look at this. It says, hey, when this all happens, look what's going to happen. You will know that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's a lot. That's like those, like, Russian dolls with all the dolls that come outside. It's like, wait, hold up. Who's in who? But it's this idea that Jesus is saying, like, through me and through life in me, you get to experience living with me dwelling within you. You get to experience like the delight and the blessing of our Heavenly Father, like this unbelievable connection to Him. Jesus is saying this in like His hour of suffering, like in the time where He is going to do the hardest thing, the thing that He actually asked His Father to take from Him, but He did it because He knew it was His will. Like in that moment, He's like, hey, guess what? You know what's going to happen in this habit is that everyone's going to know that I'm in you and you're in me and the Father is in us. Like, what does it look like to have habits in our life so that by the end of our life or when we come through this season, you might have friends who are around you, you're like, you know what? Like something was different about you in this season. Something about the way that you like handled this life, like the way that you swam in this season, something was different about you. And it's like, yeah, because this whole thing, this whole cosmic reality, this whole thing about discipleship and bringing people in to know Christ, it's about this. It's about like, hey, people will know that Jesus Christ is alive and lives within us. People will know that the kingdom of God is real and relevant and active and present and inviting and inclusive, and we get to be a part of that. That is really the message of the gospel, is that we would know that kind of faith. And so that habit of being watchful and thankful, Paul is giving that to us as a way that we can live out that active faith. We can have gratitude for what's hard. Second is that decisions create action. Decisions create action. And in this part of this passage, Paul is talking about what it means to be wise with outsiders. Now, here's the deal. And here's the deal then, and maybe for us now too. This is a time where you would think with everything going on, the very easiest thing to do would be to tribalize. Like, find the people who think like you do, who feel like you do, who believe what you do. Find those people and hang out with them. And you know what? In Paul's time, when he was writing to the church at the Colossians, the same thing was going on. It's like, why wouldn't you just find your people? Like, find the people who believe like you do, who think like you do, who feel like you do, and just like close the ranks, because they were being persecuted. It wasn't just like a hard time. It was a time where people were dying. And it just makes all sense in the human realm to kind of close ranks. And yet in the midst of that, Paul's saying, hey, in all that I just told you about the reality of the mystery of Christ, be wise with outsiders, which implies, of course, that you're with outsiders. And I think in our context now, I want to say, like, outsiders aren't just people who are far, far from God, who are not interested in God. It's also people who you are putting on the outside of your life because of the way that they think, because of the way that they believe, because of what they're talking about. Like, it's just a sense of like, no, you know what? I'll just circle that out. And I get that. And I understand that. But the reality of the gospel is it's always inclusive and expansive. And God is always calling us to more with others. And He's saying, you know what? What does it look like if you're devoted to prayer, which is that first part? When you're devoted to prayer, when you're being watchful and you're being thankful, then you can be wise with outsiders. Then you're able to engage in that kind of conversation. It says in Scripture that this is all about this like ultimate mission that we're on. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. You know, we live in a cancel culture. We're always talking about that. And, you know, I feel it and I understand it. And when we're getting bombarded with like so much at one time, it is really easy to be like, you know what, let me just circle all of that out. And you know what, there's a time and a place for that. And there's a season where you're with God, you're with each other, that we have one another. We have those people who are like-minded, but all the time, the gospel is about being wise with outsiders. All the time, the gospel is about being inclusive and expansive, that our light would go out, that we wouldn't just shine our light on one another, but that light would be out in the world in the way that we're engaging with the culture. So finally, decisions create action. And so this action is at the end here. And this is the last little part. It's kind of our takeaway for today. When Paul says, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. So salt in this time was a symbol of like lasting concord, like lasting accord, like a sort of a symbol of friendship. There's an Arabic expression that says there is salt between us. And there is salt between us implies like we are eating together and there is a friendship between us. This lasting friendship is where this conversation is coming from. So when Paul is saying, hey, let your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt, he's implying that there is a friendship that is going on in this being wise with outsiders. There's an opportunity where we're already exchanging a friendship. And we all know this, like we've heard this before, but maybe more now than ever in this divisive time to understand that there are no exceptions to the reality of this passage. Look at what it says. Let your conversation, few words here to point out, always full of grace. So seasoned with salt, there's salt between us, seasoned with friendship, so that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, there is no words wasted in Scripture. There is no words wasted. And so when Paul says, let your conversation always be full of grace so that you might know how to answer everyone, I want you to think about the person that you do not want to have a graceful conversation with. I don't know if it's the person who's pro-Trump or anti-Trump, the person who's wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, the person who believes the hype, doesn't believe the hype, whatever the thing is right now that you're like, nope, I'm not. No, thank you. That's who Christ is calling us to because of beliefs that create habits, habits that create decisions, decisions that create actions. This is not possible without Christ. This is not possible without what we talked about before, the mystery of the gospel. And when I believe that Christ is on the throne and that he is not surprised by the season that we're in, when I believe that he is sufficient not only for this world, but he's sufficient for me, when I believe in his renewal and his reconciliation, when I develop a habit of prayer, watchful and thankful, then and only then can I be wise with outsiders. Am I able to engage with this like wisdom and let my conversation be full of grace that's seasoned with salt? That's where that comes from. If we try to do that without those foundational pieces, it fails because it's built on our own strength. So if you find yourself failing here in this part, in this idea of what would it look like to be a person who's like, man, I just want my conversation to be full of grace. Like, I want my conversation to be seasoned with salt, to be seasoned with friendship, not salty, but just seasoned lightly with salt, just like with friendship, with experience. I want to be a person who has graceful conversation. I think that's possible, but only when we've built upon the rest of what we've learned in this letter. So three things on how to have a graceful conversation this week as we wrap up. How to have a graceful conversation with someone that perhaps is hard to have a graceful conversation with. This is super practical, but I just want you guys to be able to take something away. So here we go. Number one, understanding, not ammo. This is one of my favorite ways to describe how to have a conversation with someone. I want to enter into a conversation because I want to understand, not because I'm gathering ammo for what I'm going to say back. As soon as we're using somebody's conversation to gather ammo so we can start to defend ourselves, to rationalize our own reasoning, to say why we think the way that we do, we've left the conversation. We're actually not even in the conversation anymore. When we want to seek understanding, like someone who thinks differently than you, believes differently than you, if you're someone in your family that you might have a conversation with, what would it look like to say, I'm going to have a graceful conversation? And that graceful conversation means I'm going to seek to understand you. I'm not going to use it as ammo for what I'm going to say back to you. The second is this: experience, not expertise. Paul talks about his experience. When he teaches about the gospel, when he talks about what he's passionate about all through the letters in the New Testament, he talks about his experience with Jesus Christ. He's like, this is my experience. In John chapter 9, when Jesus heals a blind man, the blind man's like, I don't know who Jesus is, because he was like walking around. People were like, what happened to you? The religious leaders were fired up. And he says like, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. Like, all I know is my experience. And if you're not having an experience with the living God, like if you're not experiencing him on a daily basis, there's no way for you to have the kind of conversation that's seasoned with salt and full of grace. We get to lean into our experience. Like when God meets you where you are, when he meets you with his love, when you experience him in nature, in worship, in this video, in teaching, whatever it is, in your friendships, you're experiencing God. That's where we draw from when we're in a graceful conversation, not our expertise, but our experience. And finally, it's to win for Christ, not to win. When we think about how we engage with other people, we're winning for Christ. We're not winning for winning. And so often in our culture, it feels like I got to win. You got to believe in what I believe in. You've got to think the way that I think. I've got to tell you what you don't know. But what would it look like for you to say, look, no, actually, in the cosmic story, in what God is doing, when Paul was praying, he didn't pray for anything except for his message to go forth. And that's my prayer for you and my prayer for me and for all of us, is that as we live in this world, as we learn to swim in this world, as we experience this cosmic reality of Christ's sufficiency and supremacy, that we might do that because we want the message to go forth. And then in all the ways that we're engaging and interacting in relationships, it's because we want the message to go forth. Like, I want to win for Christ, not to win. So this week, I want to encourage you with two questions. What's one step you can take in your watchful, thankful habit this week? Remember, always praying, being watchful and thankful. What's one step that you can take in your watchful, thankful habit this week? Maybe you set your phone alarm to go off every day and be like, this is when I'm watchful. God, what am I aware of right now? Set it again. This is when I'm thankful. God, I'm going to be thankful, not just for the good things, but for the hard things as well. And the second question is this: what topics in your life do you need to season with salt right now? What topics in your life are you either avoiding or you're just sort of are salty about, that you need to bring back to this position and say, God, I want to know how to engage, because God's called us to engagement. He's not called us to tribalize. So if you want to know how to engage, what's a topic that you want to bring to God this week and say, God, will you help me know how to engage on this one? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to know your word, to experience you through your word. We thank you, Lord, that this letter written so long ago is completely and entirely relevant and practical for us today. And God, there's a work in our heart that only you can do. It's the work of belief, actually experiencing and believing in the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ for every single one of us and for this world. And Father, out of that belief, would we be people who are active in our faith? Would we contend for the faith and contend for one another, developing those habits that lead to those decisions, that create those actions, God, that bring you glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for being a part of this morning. If you're out there and have questions, prayer needs, or want to talk to someone about next steps in your faith, then head on over to that same link from before to fill out a connection card and let us know how we can connect with you. We'll see you next week.